What you doing? How are you? It's been a couple of weeks and I have been unavailable. And, you know, what's kind of funny is life just gets past you and you start scheduling things and you start putting things. And my guest is a perfect example today because I told him that several weeks ago we were going to do this. We scheduled it, put it all on there. And lo and behold, I knew it 2 days ago. I knew it yesterday. And I woke up this morning and totally forgot about it. Texted him and said, dude, we good for a show today? And he's like, yeah, we're good. We're good. In fact, he's sitting in the back room right now in the green room. He's all excited. But man, we got a good show for you today. Z, let me just tell you this. I miss Texas. And I'm going to tell you a little story about it. But I have been making jokes to a lot of my friends about, oh, that's so cute. You're getting snow. Oh, it's so cute that you're getting cold. This last weekend, I can't see crap because they got pelted with snow. So there's going to be all that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about my guests. We're going to talk about all kinds of little things and stories in life right after you see this. And for all you podcasters out there, that was the intro to Live Life Podcast. Hey, welcome to episode number 8. Oh my God, I can't believe it's number 8. My guest that's coming on here shortly, I think was on episode, I don't know, we're going to call it pre-pilot, or we'll just call it pilot, episode 1. It was a crazy idea that I had, and I asked him to be a guest on it, and we just kind of really went with the flow. I didn't have any name for it. So because I really didn't know that this is what I was going to do or what I was going to talk about or anything like that. So we called it a change in life. And it was right when COVID hit. It was an opportunity time to be able just to communicate and see each other. We were all from different directions in different places. And I had an idea. So we did 4 pilot episodes and it was all based on new people meeting new people. They weren't new to me, but they didn't know each other, I guess. And so therefore I brought it on. We did about 4 episodes, I believe it was. And then after that, I was like, okay, this is actually not too bad. So maybe I need to take this up a different level. So here you are. You're at Live Life Podcast. It's part of my motto, which is live life. Don't let life live you. And so you can go to livelifepodcast.com and you can go watch all the previous episodes. And which you should do, because there's some great content out there and some really good people. And but this is February the 15th. It's the day after Valentine's. And this is episode 8. So weather. Oh, my God. So I live in Gaylord, Michigan, and moved here about 2 years ago, year and a half ago. And we've gotten 36 to about 41 inches of snow in the last two and a half, 3 months. And it's been constantly staying around 0 degrees to as much as about 15 to 18 degrees. We've been a -4, I think is the actual true coldest we've been, with a -12 or -15 wind chill. Let me tell you, my friends, that is cold. But I've been making jokes to my friends because they would get like a little powder or they'd get a little cold and they'd just all be like, oh my God, what are we going to do? It's going to get 12 degrees this weekend. And I'd just be like, that is just so cute because, you don't know what cold is. And then next thing I know, I see all these pictures come across the board on Facebook and social media and everybody's getting pelted with snow. And I see some of my friends getting 6 or 8 inches of snow. And one of my buddies this morning said, yep, I had to get out there, had to warm the truck up and had to de-ice it. And then one of our show hosts from KBGI Media, Stuart Sachs, you've seen him on several shows and seen him as a guest on here. He actually has a hand snowplow, and he snowplowed his whole driveway and everything. It was freaking hilarious because I was like, who in Texas buys a snowplow? And but I forget that Stuart used to live up north, so that was probably something that he had in his garden shed, and it just went with him for Texas. But, so, hey, listen, if you're in Texas, I don't really feel for you. So. But it is interesting because in 1983, I was talking to a buddy of mine this morning, and I think we nailed it down to 1983 was the last year that I remember, because I was born and raised in Texas, that the temperature was so bad that I remember getting up in the morning and because we'd already been a week without school, they just really didn't feel like that we could shut down school for 2 more weeks. So my dad was like, well, you have a choice. You can walk or you can try and drive the car. Well, I couldn't get my car out of the dang driveway. So my dad said, well, I got chains. So that was the first and only time I've ever had to put chains on tires in Texas, Irving, Texas, by the way, and had to drive to school 3.5 miles. And apparently I wasn't the only one because everybody else did the same thing. And we did it for 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I guess. And then it started to warm up. And then one day I got to school and it was icy. And by the time it was 3:30, I had to sit out in the parking lot. My dad had to bring a jack because there was no way you're going to drive metal on metal down the concrete 3 miles home and ruin the chain. So my dad had to come with me and help me take the chains off. They're not like some of the new ones where they just kind of slide over the tire. This was the type where you had to jack it up and put them on there. So anyways, all that to be said that it's just kind of funny that my friends are all getting really cold. And yeah, so that's in Texas. But what's different is that I think they broke a record, as in all counties in Texas hit the exact same severe weather storm and weather alert and first time. And I think it is history or first time in that they can record in history, if I'm correct on that. But anyways, enough about the weather. Thanks for being here. Live Life Podcast number 8. I'm going to bring my guest in. And I can't do any justice. There's a calling that he does, and we'll ask him to do it because he does it so much better than I do it. When I do it, it sounds really corny and gay and all that jazz. And so I'll let him do it. So anyways, when I bring him on, maybe he will get the hint and he'll say what it is. I can see him back there choking on coffee and everything and laughing. So here we go. Let's see if he does it.
Insane.
There you go. Zane Benson, welcome to the show, man.
What's up, man?
Doing good, doing good. What is it that you're, is that popcorn? What are you eating?
It's oranges. Vitamin C, dude.
Oh, I can't tell. Okay, oranges, okay. Are you under the weather?
No, it's like 0 degrees outside.
That's
4 little cesspots out there.
That is so cute. It's like 18 degrees right now. Sunny, you know, but I do have, 20 something inches of snow currently on the ground. So,
hey, we have 4.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. So I had to get firewood about a week ago and it's just right out the patio deck. Right. I mean, we're talking not even 10 feet and I have an area where I've cleared it all off to get there. And I was like, okay, I went. So I didn't want to carry it all by hand. So I have one of these Gorilla four wheel carts. So I got that sucker out there. It's made for carrying firewood stuff. So I haul it over there. It's kind of like a gigantic adult wagon. Right. And I park it off to the side where I kind of had the walkway cleaned and everything. And then I just took a step and literally went 3 feet in the snow. And I started laughing because I'm waist deep in the snow. My firewood is 5 feet in front of me and I can't move. I forget that it was downhill to get to the firewood. I thought I was just going to walk straight to it. Yeah. I went right in. And then Kim's looking out me at the window. She didn't get a picture. I said, you should have had your phone in your hand. It took me a second to kind of get myself and get out of there. And then I had to go get my snow shovel and dig a 3 foot hole path for me to get to the firewood. It was, I was tired by that time. So firewood was not going to be no 5 minute thing. It was a 45 minute thing without carrying the firewood in the house. But anyways, yeah, it's one of those days. So let me ask you a question. Are you teaching these days? What's going on? You got all these school books and kids books behind you?
Dude. Okay. So, since March last year, we've been forced to kind of work from home and all this stuff. So this is like this, you remember the Lucky Pucks table? I have the original table. Yeah.
Yep.
So I bought a bunch of wood from Lowe's and I made this little makeshift table cover for it. I've got dual monitors here. I got my laptop in the middle and I'm able to push them all back so that Shannon can do all her Usborne books and more stuff or videos for teaching because she teaches remote as well. And so I'm sitting here going, all right, I'm going to go live with Mark. I haven't talked to him in a while. This is really cool. And I'm like looking at your background going, crap, he's still got the American flag and he's got this and he's got that. I'm like, I got kids books. Woo-hoo! Hey, I love America.
I love it. There's nothing wrong with that, my friend. Nothing wrong with that at all. No, in fact, I don't know. Let's see if it even comes up. I'm changing my studio a little bit. So, I got a little blue light coming on back there.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I even have you can't see it either, but I've got a light in front of me as well. But I'll have two lights back there. And then That computer that's sitting back there right now, that will be gone soon. I'm still working on my studio, so everything's kind of in chaos. But no, that's cute. You got the books there and everything. And I was like, oh, what's he doing? Teaching now? Is that what? Is that how you teach realtors?
That's a girl dad. married to a teacher.
See, I thought that was like real estate 101. You know, this is how you start. You got to learn how to read, and we can educate you.
A lot of them probably need this. They don't know how to read a contract.
There's a lot of consumers that have that same problem.
I'm just kidding. Don't shoot me.
Don't shoot you. Don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. So, Zane, other than the weather and having a little bit of different lifestyle for the last 3 days, you know, being really cold, extremely cold in Texas, you're going to get back in the 30s and 40s. It's going to be next week.
Right.
What else are you doing right now? I know that COVID's affected your family. I know you've had to work from home. Your wife's had to work from home, and everybody's been in this. And when we did the change in life, we never really discussed and talked about really what the process was, because it was happening at the time. But it looked like you've adapted. So even though things are kind of starting to open up, do you find yourself readapting, or are you just still kind of in that same process that got you there in COVID?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're still good. Like, I'm used to growing up on the farm with, you know, one of eight kids. Like, I'm used to being hunkered down in the house surrounded by a potbelly stove, staying nice and warm in that negative wind chill factor. And this one is different, like teaching the kids to like bundle up. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you feel like, as long as you're warm, because when we go outside, it's negative 10. Like, we're only out there 30 minutes. Your butt needs to go inside so you don't get frostbite.
Right, right.
So it's different. And that's right. You mentioned that before I came on, was that's the thing that hit the entire state of Texas for the first time in history, was there was a wind chill emergency.
Right.
I mean, they had wind chills between negative 15 and negative 25. It's the coldest since, I think, the coldest ever, like 1989 or something.
Yeah.
So, yep. I mean, this is the worst I've felt it. I went out yesterday in the Jeep. The roads weren't bad. There wasn't any ice yet. Now they're saying some ice is going to come by.
Well, in 2011, we had a pretty good little storm that came in, because that's when my pipes burst when I used to live in Frisco. And it was, I want to say it was something like a Thursday, maybe a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday morning. Yeah, because it was Saturday morning around 7 a.m. when it started to thaw, because it went from like 3 to 4 days of 11 degrees. And then all of a sudden we hit 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And my pipes burst on the outside, even though we'd been trickling and everything, it was still kind of frozen in some areas. And, it found when it freezes like that, pipes will find any hole they can. It didn't matter which pipe it is. And, it burst. And I had to pick it.
A lot of people don't know. I mean, down here, it's not, I mean, I love the cold for a visit.
Right.
But like the snow we got, Mark, you know, the snow we get in Texas, it's like, oh, look at that cover.
Powder. Yeah.
It's gone in an hour. If I could take my camera and show you outside, there is probably 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And then the best thing that could ever happen for people in Texas to enjoy it was the Texas sun came out this morning. And it's not going anywhere, because it's like 3 degrees outside. So
yeah,
it's just a beautiful, picturesque, like, okay, go outside and enjoy this as much as you can, because it's only going to be here for like 2 days.
I watched one of my friends, and no, not Sean Heatley from Epic Carts, but another friend that had a golf cart, and his wife for Valentine's wanted to go out. She said, we should go out, you know, like sledding. And so they took they had one of those heavy duty, like really canvas thick floaters, and he pulled it behind that thing, pulled her behind it, and she was all bundled up and everything, twisting and turning back there on the road, going down the road neighborhood. And sucker didn't tear up or anything. And I was like, dude, he goes, oh no, it was pretty icy out there. It was actually fairly slick. He said, I had a hard time for the golf cart picking up with the wheels, but they had fun. He goes, that's what my Valentine wanted. So that's what we did. We sled in our neighborhood.
We always did what they told us not to. And took right. a lasso and hooked it up to the ball joint on the back of dad's truck and flipped over a hood and just started skiing down the roads and everything. You know, go around a corner and hopefully you don't hit a tractor or something.
The one time that I ever got to do, I guess I'll just say true snow sledding, we didn't have a snow sled. So we actually took 3 cardboard boxes and taped them all together and made a curve in the front. And we did it down a side of a hill that was probably about 1,000 feet. and a lot of bumps. And several times you would hit one of the bumps and cardboard would be there and you'd keep going. You know, I had that happen a couple of times where I'm digging into the dirt and all of a sudden, ow, tree stump. You know, that didn't feel good, by the way.
I'm still waiting to find the disc and oil from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I just can't wait to try it out.
So, okay. So let's talk about Zane for a minute. So COVID hit, you guys had to go home. You had to work from home and you've been able to adapt to that. And now you're still kind of still in that adaption because we haven't really fully opened up America. I know you guys can go out and do things a lot more than what I can do up here. Do you still, if you had to tell everybody during this time, your experience, what is your takeaway? What's something that, give me a pro and a con that you could tell somebody about going through COVID on Zane's family life.
I mean, the con is we can't go outside.
Right.
I mean, we can. We still went outside. We still went for daily walks.
Yeah. You just couldn't go to restaurants and bars and things like that.
Yeah. You know me, I mean, Mr. Networker, I love.
Right. I got to go out.
Seeing how people are doing. Like, I'm an outdoors guy. I cannot sit behind a desk. That was probably the con. The pro was the amount of time that we were essentially forced to spend together as a family with everything going on and kind of managing your time. And so we started doing different things. So we did at lunch, we spent 2 days and prepared like 30 meals for a pot belly stove or not pot belly stove, but a crock pot.
Right.
And so we'd make it and we taught the kids like, here's all this stuff. And you just kind of follow the recipe and put the stuff together. And then we threw it in the freezer and we just pulling out for a different meal. But then like 30 meals went through in like 10 days and it was like, I'm sick of crock pot meals. So that was fun. Then we started doing like, we did this thing. I don't know if you remember, like I was going Facebook Live in the beginning and doing like questions with the kids and getting them involved. I remember
that. That was a lot of fun.
It was fun. And there's different things. I mean, we do things outside that we didn't share with the world, that doing things with our kids, you know. Like, I was still going through physical therapy because it was deemed essential.
Right.
So Mondays and Fridays, I was still able to go work out. Excuse me. Corona cough.
That's what we say when our dog sneezes in front of us.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, Corona! And they just look at us going,
I coughed in Target the other day trying to find something. I felt like a drop of oil in water. It was like, boo! First. I was like, oh, that's okay. I was walking through the store coughing on purpose.
What's wrong with him? He's over there coughing. Ooh, back away. Right.
Stay away.
That means the shop's open for you. You just kicked everybody out. Great. I can shop now.
Right. Door's that way.
Yeah. Or you just walk in the door and do the siren. You put one of those air sirens. COVID alert. COVID alert. Probably be at the new federal crime if you do that now.
Sorry. Yeah. So one of the things the kids did was funny is like last February, they did the American Heart Association Heart Health Month with Frisco ISD. And so the kids come up with these ideas and it's crazy. Like Olivia told her mom, she was like, Mom, can we go door to door and make cupcakes? And Shannon was like, that's cool, but we don't have time to make that many cupcakes. And so what they did was they went to Walmart or Target or Kroger or wherever. I'm sorry, right. Target. They bought all these like cupcakes, right? And they carried them around the neighborhood. And dude, they set a goal of like $200 and they hit it on like day one or day two.
Wow.
We had nothing to do with it. That was all them. This year comes around and Olivia's like, Dad, you got to do it. You got to walk me, got to teach me, got to do this and that. I said, okay, here we go. And she got no answer, yes. And that yes, she was like, this is cool. And so I said, look, you always got to start with no. Because from there, there's nowhere to go but up. And so I was like, okay, so I'm going to kick back a little bit. So I was like, what are you going to do this year? Can't do cupcakes. You did it last year. Everybody's going to remember. Do something different. And so they got their perler beads. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're like the new age Legos, but smaller.
Okay. All right.
And you like step on them and God dang
it. Oh my God. But, well, if it's like a regular Lego too, it's hellacious.
But they put them on these little designs and in their color codes and everything. And then Mom irons them and they become this little shape like this here. I've got one right here. A couple of them. She made them these and I keep these for me.
Okay.
Itty bitty beads. I don't know if you can see that.
Yep. I see them now.
So she makes these. And they needed, okay, Dad, we're going to raise $1,000. So, holy crap. Okay.
And you're like, whoa.
That's like the goal for the school.
Really?
And she's like, doing it. I think it's more than that. Maybe that's her class or her grade or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But so her and Caden sit down, and they go, let's start making them. And I think they made over 100 of them. And they go out on day one, 100 and something dollars. Day two, 30 something dollars. Like, I'm talking 1 to 2 hours of walking with these kids, just knocking on the door. Hey, my name's Olivia. This is my brother, Caden. That's the thing, man. It's the little stuff like that that we do behind the scenes when you're doing stuff like that, knocking on the door, that it's just like, wow, man, it's all worth it.
Sweet. See, that's the first time I've heard that. But I do like and appreciate that families like yourself has been able to adapt and spend more time with family. And really cool thing happened just the other day. I had a colleague of mine I was talking to. Now I don't know her personally. I just know her from online and stuff, but she was talking about this last year. Well, before COVID, it was 80 miles an hour, 80 hours a week, you know, not seeing the family, hardly ever seeing family, to halt, like drastic stop. And it's like, holy smoke, I got a family, you know? And then it's like every morning I wake up, it's like, holy smoke. Well, there's my husband in the kitchen. There's my kids all over the place messing the house up. And I'm stressed. She goes, I was stressed because it was like, everybody's home. It's like, you know, I appreciate it, but I haven't seen you guys in months, you know, cause I'm working 80 hours a week. She said it took her 3 weeks to finally get acclimated and get used to people being at the house and noises and just all kinds of things. She goes, man, after 3 weeks, I sit down with my husband. She goes, as bad as COVID is, this is probably the best thing that's ever happened to our family. Because we all became one. We all became togetherness. We just did things together. We didn't argue. Nobody fought in the house. Nobody felt cabin fever. You know, we had to, you know, argue sometimes on what are we going to eat for dinner type thing, you know, as a family. My son would want pizza every night. So she goes, I dealt with that. She goes, but moving forward, the moment the state opened up and we could start going out, she goes, I found myself instantly in 24 hours already going back to my old self. And she said she was 6 hours into the day and she's like, that's it. I can't, I got to go back to what we were doing. I cannot work 80 hours a week. I don't want to do that. This is not me anymore. So I say that to ask you, do you find yourself in that situation? Is that something you've been thinking about? Because I know you're a networker and you go. Now you may not go, you know, 110 miles an hour, 80 hours a week, but you are going 110 miles an hour, 35 to 65 hours a week. Well, you're not been doing that lately. You've been doing this more online. So do you find yourself that you're still going to be 50-50? Do you think you're going to get, you know, go all in again? What do you think you're going to be doing?
No, I mean, it's a great precursor for me to get ready because what I've been doing is, you know, Shannon and the big kids go to school at like 7 o'clock in the morning. And so I've got Jeremiah, the baby, and I drop him off at daycare at like 7:30 or so. So for me, my goal is like, as soon as I drop him off, get to the office and just work and get my stuff done. You know, it doesn't take that long to get things done if you're focused, especially with what we do. So much more is done behind the scenes by the support staff. I'm able to do more with that and more phone calls and text messages. But my goal is, you know, we're getting the kids like Olivia and especially Caden and probably Charlotte too signed up to start playing sports. And so I want to be there at his practice and I want to be there at his games and in Olivia's games and all that stuff, you know? So that's what I'm getting ready for.
Awesome. Because
I mean, when you think about it, man, we've got five kids that are little, four that are playing sports or getting ready to play sports. So Shannon and I are going to be, you don't know where they're going to be.
And you know, Shannon has six kids, right? Yeah.
I count as five.
No, you're as two. There's the big Zane and the little Zane. Depends on what time of the day.
We got
a couple of comments here. Lisa Mills, a good friend of mine. She says fancy. So I think she's just saying fancy that we got a show going on. I don't think you know her. But then the next one has come from Deborah Dunn. Hey, Zane, good to see you and Mark. Hey, Deborah, how are you? Maybe she can be it.
Hey, Deborah, how are you?
How are you? She's insane. Maybe she can be a guest one day. She'll probably say no, but I could at least ask her. Who knows, right? So have you been home lately? Have you been, I know you took a trip to, back to Oklahoma and everything. So did your family, did they get any of this weather that's happened the last couple of days?
Oh, dude, we get stuff like this on the farm every year.
Yeah, but I mean, just in the last couple of days, are you guys are experiencing it at the same time or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mom and dad are cooped up in the house with the potbelly stove and heater. That, that's our heater, man. Like it's, we didn't have heaters growing up. Air conditioners growing up were like, open your windows and pray for a 75 mile an hour wind and 100 degree weather.
Well, we didn't. Well, we're kind of a little similar, but we had gas stoves, the type that you would have a gas stove in your bedroom, and then you'd have the wall gas stove on a wall somewhere in the living room.
Propane?
Yeah. Well, gas to the house, you know.
Yeah.
And, but we'd have those, man. I have a down here on my abdomen, I have a T because I was about 3 or 4 years old and I leaned over it and it burned me. So I've got a T on my abdomen.
Yeah.
My mom said I cried for a while. You know, she took me in as a burn victim, but, yeah, hey, listen, I was burned, you know. So I have proof of living through the gas stoves in your bedroom experience, you know. 2 feet by 2 feet, 3 feet high snow things over there. You're supposed to walk in your door and go, oof, don't want to get close to that, you know,
right.
But it kept you warm, you know, and we didn't have air conditioners either, until probably by the time I was in junior high, we were the same way. And finally we started hitting some temperatures and dad was just like, here's what's funny. So, I'll just, my little story on me, my dad decides that we're going to get an air conditioner. Okay. My mom's excited. I remember this day. I remember it was in the late 70s and we were like, I was so excited. I called my brother and said, cause we had regular phones, right? So I'm a rotary phone dialing my brother going, we're going to get an air conditioner. Oh my God. It's going to be, we got 5 TVs in the house, but we're getting an air conditioner, you know? and my brother was like, cause my brother lived in an apartment, had central air. So, you know, he was used to the new format of living. Right. And, my dad comes home with his air conditioner. And mom looks at him, and I remember the face expression of my mom. She's like, really? So he gets an air conditioner, a small one, like so small, and it's going in the master bedroom.
Nice.
Dad's like, I'm not sweating anymore in bed. And mom's like, we have to live during the day. Well, we can just turn it on in there and keep the bedroom cold. Well, what's Mark going to do? What are we going to do when I'm cooking dinner? I mean, it's hot in the living room. It's 100 outside. It's 100 in the living room. And dad's like, well, all they had was small ones. It was something like that. And so we did it for a couple of months. And finally, dad went and got a big air conditioner put in the main window in the living room. And we were like, oh, my God. It's like, you know, forget about the old days in the 20s and 30s when people were hovered around a radio. We were hovering around an air conditioner trying to turn to look at the TV. You know, well, we didn't want to.
I'm surprised your dad didn't come home with a new oscillating fan and say, Mark, here's a water bottle. Stand behind it.
We did have some fans, but they weren't really doing anything. But I do remember it only lasted like 2 years. And then I remember coming home from school one day and my dad bought this behemoth air conditioner. I mean, one so big that it had to be on a platform outside of the window because it was so long and so big. It's like the days of when TVs were coming out with big screens, right? They were 6 foot long, 2 foot wide, deep, and then, you know, 5 foot high, you know? It's like, this was the air conditioner in the window and, you know, 220 volts and blows, you know, 80 miles an hour wind. And then, you know, 15 minutes into it, you're like 25 feet away from the air conditioner because you're like, it's freaking cold. We got to turn it down. My dad's like, it's on low. But anyways. Those are my days from experience and my first time air conditioner. It was more intriguing to me than when my dad went from black and white TV to color TV. I don't remember that really being a phase. It was the air conditioner because it was like, oh my God, we're getting an air conditioner. You know,
you probably spent a lot of time outside too.
Probably, yeah. So you were talking about work earlier. Let's get into what you do for a living. You're in the mortgage industry, and yep. How long have you been doing this?
20 years.
When did you hit your 20 years?
Let's see. March of this year will be the official 100% nonstop, like 19 years.
Okay.
But for like 2 or 3 years in college, I did a lot of insurance and mortgage, and then also Primerica Financial Services, which taught me a lot about really what people were trying to look for you know, when it came to financial stability and debt and
right
credit and all that stuff. So I did that a lot. So I say 20 years, because I did it for 2 or 3 years part-time in college, but then also March 22nd of this year will be 19 years.
Hey, congratulations, man. That's a long time.
January 21st was 15 years for me in Frisco.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. My wife and I were just talking about it because we were talking about how many years, how many Valentines we've shared. And my number that I have to go with is that I lived in Frisco for 22 years. Well, actually 23 years because it really was 22 years because we lived in Plano before that when we first got married, but it wasn't for very long, maybe a year. And then we moved into Frisco and I've been there ever since. So she's like, well, yeah, so this is our 23rd Valentine. And I'm like, but we haven't been married in 23 years. That won't happen until August. She goes, I know, but we shared it before the year before. And I was like, okay. Yeah, I guess you're right. So it made me think, yep. So we've had 23 Valentines. Yeah. So that's cool. But you know, my wife also celebrated 20 years with one company, even though she's been in the industry for 27 years. And I'm not sure exactly when the 27 years is. It's sometime later this year. So I know the industry you're in is a hard industry. And I know and it probably still happens a little bit. I know it happened back when you first started that, you know, people stayed 1 to 3 years, maybe 3 to 5 years, and then they would switch companies. And it was just nothing but a rotating revolving door, you know, going from one mortgage company to another mortgage company. But yeah. My question to you is, have you seen a change in the mortgage industry where people are becoming a little bit more stable? They're staying with the business a lot longer. They're staying with the model. Or is it still kind of a revolving door?
Right now, it's kind of different, right? We're kind of in this COVID period, but also right. at the same time, we're seeing historical low interest rates. I mean, the 30-year rate got down to like a 2.25 or 2.5 for some people.
Right.
You know, it's the lowest we've seen. We've heard they're going to keep them low like this through the end of the year.
Which is awesome. 100%.
Sure, right? And so
right.
I think a lot of people, I've seen a few people move. One I was really surprised of, but proud of him for going. It just, life changes, Mark.
Yeah.
Like I have people calling me going, did you do $100 million last year? And I'm like, no, but I can tell you how many families I helped. You know, cause to me, closing a deal isn't the total success. Like I'm going to be number one, but I don't want to be number one just in closed volume. Because those people don't know who their loan officer is. They get mad because right. they only talk to a team member. They never get to talk to the loan officer. There's no relationship. And that's me. It's like, I'm an advisor. I want to spend my time with those people. So I think the change is like right now we're going to see a lot of people last year, this year, and maybe even next year that are going to really stay stable. What's going to happen, though, is we're going to have a really bad shift. And it's kind of like when the licensing requirement came out in 2008, 2009, and
2010.
Yeah. We saw about 80% of the industry drop off because they couldn't pass a test, a background check, or a credit check. And so when this behemoth of production that we have, especially in the Collin County market or North Texas market, really, when it comes back to reality and then some, it's I think there's going to be a lot of people that leave to go do something else because they didn't save. They're all out blowing their money like they did then. They're out buying new cars and going on vacations and going to Mexico every other week. And I mean, dude, I see it every day. And I'm just like, man, I feel sorry for you when the year's all done.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm happy they do it and I hope they're happy right now. But man, my thing is longevity for my family. I got a wife and 5 kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing, right? So you have something that's working for the Benson family. My wife and I were just talking about this the other day, too. We're very fortunate in the position, the lifestyle that we are, and at the time that she's had to work at a corporate job, especially in the industry she's in, it's unheard of to be there, be in one industry, one time, one company for 20 years. You know, because you just don't see people retiring 20 to 30 years in a job, right? You know, 5, 10, 15, maybe, but not when it gets to 20 years, right? It's like a huge life accomplishment because you've been successful at doing this for 20 years. You didn't have to shift back to go to another corporate job or go back to doing something totally different while this tried to work itself out. I've got friends that are entrepreneurs. They're having to do that because of COVID. And it stinks because they know their business model is there. I know that their products, their services, the things that they offer, I know it's there, but you know, people aren't spending the money. And I know you've been affected along the way too, because at some point industry changes, you know, we had 2008, 2010, we had a little bit of a deficit in the economy, and people were not putting money to remodel the house. They were just repairing what had to be repaired. They didn't go buy new cars if they didn't have to, right? And so COVID's kind of affected that, I think, to some degree. People have just relaxed a little bit and stayed at home, made shift and did what they had to do. But I haven't really seen a large number. And so I don't know if you have either, but I only a few people, like maybe just a few percentage that I've seen where people have got new cars or they're moving into a new house. But I know a lot of people have been doing refis. So in your market, have you seen, what's the number, what's the percentage? Have you seen more refi than you have people buying and selling a home?
I have. I don't work with a lot of realtors, and all the realtors I work with know that. Like, I've only got probably 10 or 15 realtors that I work with, where most loan officers have like 400 to 1,000 realtors that they're friends with.
Right.
And they go spend all their money on them and they don't get anything from them. And for me, I'm like, I spend my money on my personal, my family, my friends, and my past clients. And so when everybody else was going nuts, chasing all these realtors and builders with all the new business, I was calling all my clients, because I was, from my mentor, I don't know this, my mentor that I followed for 20 years, and then some other economists that I follow, all said two things. We're walking into this year, and the rates were going to go under 3%, and we're walking into a recession. And so I was talking to my financial advisors, CPAs, attorneys, people like that that I work with, and my past clients, and they're all like, you're crazy. And then all of a sudden we hit March and COVID hits, and then April hits and we go below 3%. And people were like, dude, how'd you know that? And I was like, hold off, don't refi. And they're like, what, everybody's telling us to refi? And I'm like, don't refi, rates are still gonna go down. We did not expect rates to go under 3% until around the election in November.
Right.
In March or April, when they went below 3%, it wasn't because of the bad market. The market was already going bad. People just weren't paying attention behind the scenes, right? So you look at all and you get to the point and it's like, dude, we're going lower and lower and lower. Some people, good Lord, sorry. Some people refinance two, sometimes three times.
Wow.
Because they went from four, wherever they were, to like a three.
Right.
To maybe a 2.5, to going, holy cow, let's go to a 15 and get a 1.875. I mean.
So dude, let me ask you something though. If you're talking about three of
them. Bad loan officers. I can't stand that.
So if, okay, so you got a client and they've been able to do a shift change on one or two or three times. Are they, so when they come back and they just did a refi, and then we'll just say 30 days later, they want to do another refi because the numbers change. Are they having to do a whole new closing and whole new cost and everything? So they may be paying $5,000 this time, $5,000 the next time, another $5,000 the third time. Now, is that, so I'm not stupid. That's not $15,000 that's going off the house. That's just $15,000 that's going out the door to refi.
Yeah, most people don't even just pay it. They just add it to their loan amount.
So then the loan really,
in a year and a half, you've just increased your balance $15,000 extra.
Exactly.
And so you're probably saving, you spent $15,000 to save what, $300 a month?
Right. That
doesn't make sense.
If it was $500, $800, which I have seen a few people say that it went more than half, but that's because they had a high interest at the time. So I know for a fact that I've got friends that are at 6%, maybe even 7.5, because they had bad credit at the time, maybe even 5.5%, right? And all of a sudden they were able to get 2.8. Well, yeah, if you're paying $2,000 a month, and you're now paying $1,000 a month, you've gone down, you know, 4 points. So your credit and has gotten better and your interest and everything's going to go down, but you're right. The money goes up on the house and all that jazz.
It always comes up too, Mark. A lot of people think like, oh, it's dropped 1%. That doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
If you don't have a tool, like some of us, like there's, I think less than 2% of loan officers in America use the tool that I use. If you don't have a tool like that and all you're thinking is low rate, low rate, low rate, you don't have a strategy behind it, you're never going to pay it off. So why refinance? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking to my wife just recently and we're in May, June, July, we're putting together a plan. Cause we are going to do a refi, but we're doing because we're in a land contract, which you can do that here in Michigan. So you're still buying the home, but we're not really doing a refi. We're actually going to do a full purchase on the home, but we're doing it at a specific time because the market's still going to be low. So we'll still get a good interest and everything on it. But the other point of it is that we don't have to worry about a 30-year conventional mortgage. We're probably going to do a 10-year. My goal is to try and figure out how to pay the rest of this house off in 5 years. And if it takes 10 years, I'm okay with that. But I don't want 20 or 30 years, right? I want a short term, which means that if the interest is that low, then I want to take advantage of that. I want to get it low, but I want to put more money on my principal. So if I know I can handle $2,000 a month and I can get my loan at $500 or $800, then I'm going to pay $2,000. Because guess what? If I do that for 5 years, I'm paying my mortgage off. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't need to do it to save money. I want to save money down the road because I want to own my home. Yeah. I want to finally get to a point where I don't have a mortgage because this is going to be my forever. This is going to be my long time home. And even if it's not, it's going to be more than 20 years. So if I'm going to be here that long, I might as well just get to the conscience of buying the home. Maybe that's not the right thing that you tell people, but this is where our goal is. It wasn't when we were in Frisco, but it is where we are now.
It's different, right? So life changes, like we were saying. And what's your motto? Live life, don't let life live you.
Right.
Mine has always been, it's funny, like mine has always been work around your life, don't live around your work.
See, I love that.
But with life change, it can be a week or a month later. It doesn't matter. Your life changes if you find out, oh crap, we're pregnant, right? If Shannon came through the door and said, we're having another baby, I'm like, woohoo!
Wait a minute, you're having another baby?
Huh?
Shannon really pregnant? Are you having another baby?
Not yet.
No. Oh, whoa. What was that? Not yet.
She's not getting fixed, and it's up to God, not me.
Okay. All right. What you're saying is that there's still a possibility the doors are open, right?
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yes, I love it. Yeah. Number six.
We did go to number five. That is a different story.
Yeah.
So you and I have talked about that. So it's different with life change when it comes to finances and mortgage. My thing is, especially right now, the two largest tax deductions we can have, and I'm not a licensed CPA, if anybody's watching, nor a financial advisor or an attorney, I'm just a licensed LO. And all these are my personal opinions, not my business. So if things change, we have two large tax deductions, that's your mortgage and your kids. And then they have all these different things that change, right? So right. You have all those things that fall into place. My thing is Rick Edelman's BLT mortgage, the big long-term mortgage. So borrow as much as you can for the longest period of time to maximize your tax deductibility. And with all the money you save on the monthly payment and cash that you're not putting down on the home, knock out all your non-preferred debt first. Car loans, credit cards, whatever else you might have, motorcycle, boat, RV, whatever you want, a Barbie car, and then go, good God, dude, I have a client call me the other day. They wanted $34,000 for an AC replacement. I was like, wow. How much would it cost for me to buy an HVAC company?
Yeah, $30,000.
So anyways, it's just those things that change and pay all that right. stuff off. Then your student loan debt, because that's still tax deductible.
Yeah.
And then your mortgage.
Right.
And knock it out and be completely done. I'm all about it. But the difference is from what you were saying to what I was saying.
Right.
It's not right or wrong.
Okay.
People's comfort level goes from here to here. They just have to find it. And that's my goal, is to help them find it.
So you were talking about car loans and debt and all that. How important is it for somebody to have on their profile a ratio of debt? Because everybody's going to have debt, right? So there's a certain number. But if you're, let's just say you're going to buy a car a house. And in 6 months, the car you own is going to go off there. Should a person be worried that the car is going to go off the market? We have a friend that's what's happening. And they're worried that they're not going to have the car loan. And so the mortgage is going to look at that and go, well, they don't have another loan. and all they have is debt. All they have is credit cards. So how does that, is should they be worried about that? Or is that just something that's no, they're just going to have more money to be able to buy, purchase the house they need
or want. Yeah. So like you're going to have, I'm going to do a shameless plug here. It's my buddy, Stacy Notley with the Manning Group. Don't leave good credit to chance. Leave it to us. So Stacy does credit and debt management. I've learned a lot from him from over 10 years. And right. The crazy thing is the best factoring score is to have like 20 different trade lines.
Okay.
And people think no credit is better than bad credit. And it's not true. Bad credit still gives you a score.
Yeah.
No credit gives you nothing.
Right.
And lending guidelines require 3 trade line minimum, 2 with 12 month history, 1 with 24 month history. I mean, okay. If you don't have credit, you're in big trouble.
Right. Right.
So you can get your non-QM type lenders involved with bank statement loans and no credit and all that. But then you see the interest rates are still 5-7%. People go, I don't want that.
Right. Right.
So you either qualify or you don't.
Yeah.
My thought is like on the car payment, I'm in this boat. Shane and I are getting ready to buy a house. So my Jeep loan, instead of selling the Jeep, we're selling our Escape. So if anybody wants a Ford Escape that's in pristine condition, give me a call.
Stuck in the snow in Texas. Stuck in the snow in Texas, but it's here.
That one, luckily, is in the garage. So we're not going to pay it off yet because by the time we buy a house, we're going to have less than 10 months left on that payment.
Yeah.
And if you have less than 10 months left on a payment, you don't have to count that payment towards the debt to income ratio qualifying.
Got it.
So that's what we're going to do. And that's what I would recommend your friend do. You don't want to close it because if you close it and pay it off, your score is going to drop.
Yeah. Right.
So I would keep it open.
Got it. Okay, cool. So we're going to play a little game here. And I'm going to ask you a question and I just need one word answers. Okay. You ready? Uh oh. Zane got closer to the screen. He's like, okay, hold on. I got to pay attention. I got to hear, right? Put your good ear to the speaker. Yeah.
I lean forward like I'm going to read something.
I know. What are you reading? Hold on. This is what you're reading right here. You're reading that. That's the website you go to if you want more information. That's it. Right. ZaneBenson.com. See, you can't screw that up. It's so simple, folks. ZaneBenson.com. And if you want to call them now, you need to go get something to write all that down. But, you know, there it is. I'll leave it on the screen for a minute. So
grab your phone and click.
Click. Exactly. Ooh, see, that's it. Perfect. Right there. Now you got your own V card. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Now you can take a picture.
Those are the only two things. Those are the only two things that don't
like this, in the middle. Yeah. Okay. Take the picture. Yeah. or what's a hook 'em horns, you know, whatever.
He's talking about Boomer Sooner, baby.
That's why I did it. All right. So here we go. Zane Benson, I'm going to ask you a question. You're going to give me a one word answer.
Okay.
Favorite color?
Red.
Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Hot rods or Jeeps?
Jeeps.
Jeeps or Ford Focus?
Jeeps.
5 kids or 6 kids?
6.
Texas or Oklahoma?
Oh.
No.
Here, let me see. Let me think.
I got the answer. Yep. Yep. For all you podcast listeners out there, he picked Oklahoma. One time and every time. That was a dumb question. I probably shouldn't even asked it.
I love Texas. I would say I love Texas for everything, life, school, sports, everything. But Oklahoma is always going to be home to me.
Okay. So even or odd?
Even.
Ooh. So you have OCD problems or not?
Slightly.
do you like to cook or not?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Favorite dish. Damn restaurant. Favorite dish that you cook, obviously.
Spaghetti lasagna.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think you can go to Kroger and get some dry ice. Would you make that tonight and send it to us?
What's that? Spaghetti and lasagna?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Deliver it. Send it to us. I'll pay for the shipping. I'll pay for all the stuff. I just won't pay for your labor.
Mark, yesterday was Valentine's Day. That's a labor of love.
Okay. So if money was no object and you had the option to buy one thing, what would it be?
Oh,
right. It's unlimited potential here. What would I buy? Do I think about me? Do I think about the family? Do I think about our future? What is, tick tock.
I would buy like 10 to 15,000 acres of land.
Okay. Got it. With or without a house?
I'll build one if it doesn't have one.
There you go. Entrepreneur life or corporate life?
No, entrepreneur. Screw corporate. Sorry.
Favorite food? And it can't be spaghetti lasagna just because you make it.
No, well, I like to make everything.
It's got to be one thing. What does Zane go to? Zane. Okay. Well, so what's your go-to snack?
Secondary is meat.
So what's grilling. Your go-to snack? Zane's hungry. It's any time of the day, and you're walking towards the kitchen, and what would you lean towards every time? Besides coffee. Oh, fruit. Okay.
Oranges.
Yeah.
Vegetables.
Got awesome. Love it. I love it.
My kids like me too. Thank God.
So now that you've been, you know, locked in COVID, would you consider going back to working 80 hours a week? Or are you going to try to figure out a way to adapt?
No, I will adapt. If I'm working 80 hours a week, it'll be.
Then you're not spending time with your family. Right. That's pretty interesting. Okay. So, you have unlimited funds and you are, been given an opportunity to help somebody. Okay. You don't know the person, you don't know their situation, but you're getting unlimited funds to help this person. What would you buy?
Whatever they need.
But you don't know this person. You can't talk to the person. You can't ask the person. So I'm saying, here's money, Zane. And here's this. We'll just give it a female. I'll throw it as a female. Female, her name is Amy. And you've got to buy something for Amy. What do you buy?
Amy have kids?
We don't know that. We just know it's Amy and you got to buy something for her.
House and car.
That's one the whole thing. That's the whole point of the question. Was what do you buy them something that's tangible that helps them through their life, or do you buy them what they don't need? Right.
Yeah. Car. We have, my mechanic, has a charity that takes old beat down cars and they all work together to get them running again. They donate them to single moms.
Wow.
That need a car to work.
So
I think we donated 3 cars to them already. We're getting ready to donate a 4.
So I have this, friend of mine, his name is Paulo. Paulo, he's French Canadian, I think, and he's got a different name, but anyways, I met him years and years ago and I haven't seen him in years, but I still connect with him on social media and stuff. 27 years later, he still buys broken rundown BMWs and does it 2 or 3 at a time. And his home garage, he's got a 5-car garage and he'll have 2 or 3 BMWs. And what he does, he'll go and buy them at an auction or buy them somewhere in insurance, whatever, and buys them. I mean, we're talking like he buys them for a couple $100. Got to get a record, got to get them to the house. And then he'll take it and spend like, you know, $4,000, $5,000, buy new fenders, new wheels, and whatever's got to be repaired. He doesn't do the actual repairs on a lot of things. He just buys the new parts. And then takes it to a shop and says, paint it. Right. So it matches. And then he turns around and sells it for $15,000 to $20,000. And these are BMWs that aren't too old. They're usually within 5 to 7 years. And he's been doing that while doing his corporate job for the last 27 years. But it's a hobby for him. But he only sells the cars to families in need. That's it. Cool. He just sells and he does it direct. And he's got a residual income. All these years of cars, and yes, he's had some deadbeats that they couldn't pay and everything, but he goes, it's okay. If I was to sit here and try to run this like a business, I'd be stressed out all the time. So he goes, I've had a family or two that's come to me and said, hey, listen, we really can't pay. Here's the car. And he's like, no, let's make an agreement. You keep the car What do you need? 6 months, no payments. What do you need? 12 months. I mean, what can I do to help you? And then you help them out. And then mm-hmm. a year later or 6 months later, they get their lives back together and then they make payments on the car again and they get to keep the car. He goes, what am I going to do? I'm going to lose more money. I don't have a place to stock the car. I don't have time to go try to resell the car. And my whole purpose is to help families. So I would be screwing a family. So, and he goes, and there's been a couple of divorces where the wife and the two kids, I think it was like 8-9 years ago. I remember him telling it on his Facebook. He goes, I just did a good thing today. He goes, you know, we all talk about how we give things. He goes, a mother just got divorced, had no car, no job, no house, no money, no nothing. I just told her the car's her. Don't worry about it. My wife and I, it was only like $6,000 to pay off the car. He goes, I just absorbed the money and she got a car. And she was able to go still look for work. And he goes, I helped a family. That's all. That's what's important. If you can find a purpose in life like that, Zane, you know, you're going to be beneficial and you're going to be inspiring and taking care of other people. I know you, and I know you do that through other ways. And that's what I like about you. It's your character. People trust you. They respect you. They're honored to be in your life. I know there's some really good friends that don't try to step on your grounds. They try to really respect you and they try to look at you as a smart person. You've got great integrity. You know what you need to do. But you're even better friend because you care and you listen. And that's hard to do. That's hard for a lot of people to do because it's always about me, 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 me. And instead of it being about what are we going to do? Right. So I commend you for the years that you've been doing and the friendship you have.
Well, I see a lot of people that we try to be better examples for people. Like,
that's awesome. From
work to church to our friends to our home group to, you know, a lot of people. It's funny, like I've told you before, like I'll walk to a friend's party and I still drink beer. I like whiskey.
Right.
I had a cough lately, so grandpa's cough syrup was really helping. You know, it's different because we'll walk into a party and people are like, oh, shit, Zane, sorry, we haven't been to church in 3 months. I'm like, I'm not a saint. Like, do you need a ride? Like, I can pick you up. Are you telling me? I mean, there's a kid today. His life is completely turned around. I don't think it's because of us at all. But even before kids, he was like a huge running back at Allen High School. We used to pick him up on the way to church because we made sure that he went to church. I was like, you have no excuse. I'm going to drive by and pick you up every single day and we'll drop you off after church.
Right.
And so just repetition after repetition after repetition, being around those kids, like being that example is always like, the thing is the biggest difference to me, Mark, like I see a lot of people that are just
patting themselves on the back.
They're posting it everywhere. You don't see me post about this.
Right.
Ever. I don't post that crap out there. I don't believe in doing something expecting reward or result. I don't. If your work's your work, right?
Right.
Your family's your family. But when you're giving, you're giving.
Right. So, absolutely.
We've given everything.
Right.
We've given personally. I mean, we've been evicted. I'm in the mortgage industry. We've been evicted before. Like it's tough times and stuff happens to people. And we still gave, we still served. I still got up on a Saturday and went and fed the homeless down in Dallas. I mean, it's, you just continue to do that, but our life is so much better now because of it, because the reward is not financial. It's not the pat on the back. It's not the accolades and all that stuff. Like I like the charities and stuff, but when charities start looking at you going, where's your money?
Right.
Well, I don't have any money right now. I got 5-6 kids at home. So can I just serve? Oh, no, we don't need your help. Okay, cool. I can't help you this time. I'll go help somebody else that needs it.
Right.
Well, we just need a little money. Like, dude, I'm feeding 8 mouths in my house right now. I don't need, I'm good. Okay. We've already given enough.
And I'm looking to volunteer. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how so many of them just want money. It's not just money. I mean,
that's crazy. I think Zane, for me, and we're going to close the show out here in a few minutes. I think years ago, I realized that my wife and I were doing that same thing for nonprofits and helping out. We were just the social good. We were going to every single nonprofit. We were going to every single event. We were doing every single charity fundraiser they were doing. And we would do the social good. We would say, hey, we just donated. We just get with it. When it boiled down to it one day, we actually had this conversation. It was like, what are we actually doing? We're not making an impact. We're, you know, the keywords that we're doing is, yes, we're helping brand awareness. Yes, we are helping them get noticed by our contacts and versus more contacts, right? But mm-hmm. if I had to look at the charity, what am I doing? What impact am I making? And do I really believe in the charity? And it really came down to the words that that came to mind that day when we were talking about it. Less is more. I need to pull less out, more out of my life, and because I was giving less. In order for me to give more, I need to narrow it down to ones that actually matter to me mm-hmm. and makes an impact. And that's hard for people doing that because I have a really giving heart. And so I love helping everybody that I can. But what I do know is that I have to look at a bigger picture. Do I like what you're doing? Do I appreciate where it's going? Is it something that's right here in my heart? Because if it's not in those three pillars for me, then I'll guide you and mentor you. I have no problem. That's free advice. But I can't donate. I can't volunteer. It's not me, you know, but thanks for asking. Cause I get to ask, I just got asked yesterday from another nonprofit and they know that I'm working with another nonprofit, but they were like, hey, if you could help me out and maybe you can help us fundraise. I love it. Thanks for asking. I really do. I was honored. I appreciated you asking me, but I can't. Mm-hmm. Your organization is nowhere near in my wheelhouse. I know nothing about it. Like a total opposite polar, black versus white, you know, it's like, I don't even know what the hell it is type thing.
Yeah.
And we had to look at each other and I was like, but I'll tell you what, I'll guide you. I'll mentor you. I'll help you out. I'll at least verbally lead you in a direction. That's all I can provide. And I have no problem with that. Just give me a call and we can talk for a few minutes and that's it. But you know, physically can't do anything. But I know that you have done that. I know you've been there before. I know you've physically been there before. I know you've mentally been there before. But guess what? You just said it. Better on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to a certain point.
A lot of people with charities and stuff, you and I've discussed this before, no matter how big or small the charity is, if you're giving or donating your time or whatever with a charity, and at any point it ever gets to a point where you're doing it because of the charity itself or the people that run the charity, then you're not doing it on purpose. You're doing it for a purpose. And that's not right.
Right. Right. I have narrowed it down, Zane, that there are maybe three charities that I will support during the year. It's not technically a financial support. It's a mentorship or a guidance support. You know, I'll do a social good, but I will go to their event. I will pay for the ticket to get there. I'll do that. But it's because even though I'm not a part of the charity, it's still in line of my wheelhouse. Since I support and do a lot for military, it still has military involvement and it's still something close to me. But it is a polar opposite of what we do. But I love what they do and I love how they put their love and heart into it. And I know the people. And so I know it's a lot of fun. And when I go to their event, hey, listen, I'm putting a little bit of money. They make a little bit of money. So I know for a fact that I'm doing more than a social good. I'm okay with that, but it's like work. I don't want to get where I'm doing 80 miles an hour, 80 hours a week. And I'm just all raising my hand, doing all these social goods. That's not a true philanthropist, right? At least that's not in my wheelhouse. But anyways, hey Zane, and I've kept you on for a while. I really appreciate your time. It's you're a blast. I mean, and I really don't know if I ever said thank you to the first time that we came on and did kind of a change in life. I know it was just kind of on a whim and we were all bored. We're all like, what the hell do we do now? We're all at home, stuck at home, and we're all on Zoom. What do we do?
Yeah. Right? No, it's fun, man. It's good with me. I mean, shoot, dude. I'm, like I said, locked up in a house with 8 people and 3 dogs. I'm like.
And you're in Texas and hook 'em horns.
Yeah.
All right, so you can get a hold of Zane at zanebenton.com. I'll be here. So for all you audio listeners out there, he lives in Texas, but he's a boomer sooner and a more boomer, boomer.
Mer.
Yeah. And but you can also call him at 972-809-0591. That's 972-809-0591. Or you can email them. It's Zane, Z-A-N-E, at ZaneBenson.com. So go there for all your mortgage leads, mortgage end questions you have. Zane will be happy to help you and guide you. That's what he does for a living. That's what he loves to do. He loves helping people. So don't be afraid to reach out, because even if he can't help you, I'm fairly certain he's got something to guide you in the direction, or at least help you for something in your future. But that's what you need in a person that's in that business, is somebody that can lend an ear. And when you can get that, that can help your family a heck of a lot more than just going out there and lowering your rates for 1%, because that might not be the smartest thing for you and your family. So that being said, Zane, thanks so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
So would you come on again?
Anytime.
Awesome. And are you going to do a show anytime in the future? Hint, hint.
My own? We'll see.
Maybe it'll be a show about Oklahomians. Look at Oklahoma. Him. I had to make a word. aren't you an Oklahomian? What do they call Oklahomians? What are you?
Oklahoman. Well, Oklahomian, you know, like we're like Homo sapiens or something.
Well, you know, Texas, Texans, you know, Oklahoma is Oklahoma. Oh my God, yeah. Really? Oh. Yeah, so I had a friend recently and said to me, well, not a friend, but just somebody that here is in Michigan. She's like, what, you think you're just going to all become a Michigander overnight and everything? I looked at her and I go, hell no, I'll never become a Michigander. She goes, well, then why are you here? I'm a Texagander. I'm always Texan first. So there you go. All right, well, guys, there it is. Zane Benson, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on the show. This is episode 8 for livelifepodcast.com. I am your host, Mark Warner. Until next time, when my special guest will be, well, I don't know. Go to my website and find out what my schedule is and who's going to be on next. But today was with Zane Benson. Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. Don't go anywhere. We're going to close up the show. Guys, take care. See you next week.